Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
Welcome back. ACC championship game tomorrow. Could be a billion points.
Yeah, I mean, the over-under's crazy.
It's going to be an unexpected champion. I mean, I knew Pittsburgh would be pretty good, but going into the season, we had already crowned North Carolina. We were talking about Miami being back.
Right.
And then, of course, in the Atlantic, well.
Saw how that went.
Yeah, we saw how that went. I mean, we knew Wake would be good, but it's Clemson. We presumed Clemson, especially after that Georgia game. I've said it before.
Sure.
I came out of that game and I asked myself, how much better is Georgia than Clemson? I don't think that much better. And we saw differently, though, as the season unfolded. Just that kind of year, man. That kind of year. Joining us now to say Tama Hotline, outstanding columnist for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. David Teal, good morning.
Gentlemen, good morning.
David, so happy to hear your voice, so happy to have you on. Want to ask you this question before we get into actual football. How surprised were you yesterday to learn the news that Bronco Mendenhall is going to step down?
Not in the least, believe it or not. I've always thought that this is how Bronco would exit the profession. He was never going to coach into his mid to late 60s. He doesn't believe his job is his life's calling. He feels a higher purpose. He is a man of unyielding principles and abiding faith. And his faith played a central role in this decision. Now, was I surprised when the message hit my phone at 4:45 yesterday? Yes. But was I surprised that did I think it was possible that within a year or two he would be gone? Absolutely.
Well, where does Virginia go from here? I mean, it would seem to me to be a pretty good job, David. I know academically it's up there, highly ranked, and they put out enough good players, good recruiting base there in Virginia. But how does it rank, though, when you look at it amongst the hierarchy of other ACC jobs?
I think it's mid-level at best. Fan support is not good. You know, attendance has lagged for years. They are in the midst of a fundraising drive to get a football building constructed. They desperately needed one. The facilities are way behind the curve, not only in the ACC, but nationally. And the fundraising for that has hit a wall. So there are challenges that come with this job. But it is a Power 5 job, and, of course, people will be quite interested in it.
What are some names or who are some people we need to look for to be mentioned as possible replacements?
Well, I think the first thing to remember, guys, is we can toss out names, and we will here in just a second. But it all depends on the connection that the athletic director, in this case, Carla Williams, makes with the candidates in job interviews. That's the paramount thing here. The first name that comes to my mind is Anthony Poindexter. Virginia Sports Hall of Famer, teamed up with a fellow defensive back for the biggest tackle in UVA history, stopping Warrick Dunn inches from the goal line in 1995 at Scott Stadium to hand Florida State its first ever ACC loss. He's now at Penn State as the co-defensive coordinator. He's been an assistant coach at Purdue, at Connecticut, at UVA. He's from Lynchburg, right down Route 29 from Charlottesville. So that's one name. Gosh, you just look over the mountain at James Madison and the success that Kurt Cignetti had there and elsewhere. I think he would be a viable candidate. Carla Williams is a former associate athletic director at Georgia. Might she dip into her Georgia connections and look at, say, Georgia's defensive coordinator who's been mentioned for jobs and the Bulldogs having the number one defense in the country this season could go there. Chris Beatty, the San Diego Chargers receivers coach, is a well-traveled coach with deep Virginia ties. So there's no telling where this search may lead.
David, let's move a little west. Virginia Tech named Brent Pry its head coach, Penn State defensive coordinator. How do you gauge that hire? How do you gauge that fit? And what is the number one thing he needs to do in order to get Virginia Tech relevant in the Coastal?
He needs to recruit. And he needs to recruit the Virginia Tech footprint. And he hit all the high notes yesterday in his introductory presser. He didn't attend Virginia Tech, but he has a lot of Hokie in him. He attended Lexington High School right up I-81 from Virginia Tech. He went to camp, football camp there in Blacksburg that Frank Beamer was running. Wasn't good enough to get an offer by any stretch. And then he was a graduate assistant there from 1995 through 97. And that 95 and those 95 and 96 years, those were Big East championships for the Hokies. Those were the years they went to the Sugar Bowl and beat Texas and went to the Orange Bowl and played Nebraska. So he knows what Virginia Tech as an elite program looks like. He's a first-time head coach. But more and more Power 5 athletic directors, guys, are willing to make that leap. You look around the country, Shane Beamer in South Carolina. Lincoln Riley's first head coaching job was at Oklahoma. Kirby Smart's first head coaching job, Georgia. Mike Gundy's first job, Oklahoma State. So it's not unusual anymore.
We're joined by David Teal, Richmond Times-Dispatch. Follow him on Twitter, @ByDavidTeal. David, looking at the ACC championship game tomorrow night, and I don't know if you heard me preface your appearance by saying this, but this is not the matchup I expected back in August. I'm sure you'll agree with me on that.
Oh, 100%. No, I'm so dumb. I picked Pitt to finish fifth in the Coastal, and I think Wake Forest third in the Atlantic.
Well, we were fooled, David. Why, looking at the season at large, though, how do you explain everything that happened in the ACC this year? I mean, we had some serious misses, not just Clemson, but North Carolina. Miami ended up not being back. Were we just wishing for different things, or was that the way it was always going to be?
We all whiff on predictions, and that's the beauty of sports. But Clemson should have been the preseason favorite. There was no reason for the Tigers not to be. And with Sam Howell returning at quarterback, North Carolina in a very competitive yet mediocre Coastal division, sure, the Tar Heels were the logical choice to be the preseason favorite. Now, were they overrated in the preseason polls at number 10? 100%. Now, you're talking about a program that hasn't won the ACC since 1980 when Lawrence Taylor was playing linebacker. So let's see them prove it on the field before, anointing them top 10 preseason.
Looking at the job that Dave Clawson's done at Wake Forest for the past few years, exactly right, David. I spent a lot of time around that program, covered it on a daily basis for years, and watching how he worked, how he went about his business was always so impressive. When you look at the rebuild jobs in ACC history, where does this one rank? It's got to be up at number one, if not close.
It really does, Scott. I mean, he's done a remarkable, and he did a remarkable job also at Fordham and Richmond and Bowling Green. This is Dave Clawson's MO. And oh, by the way, there's a Dave Clawson Brent Pry connection. They worked together briefly at the University of Buffalo back in the early 90s. But it's you look at Wake Forest, guys. The Deacons are now in their fifth consecutive season of averaging at least 30 points per game. No other program in the ACC has done that. None.
Wow. It's unprecedented. What's been his MO, though, Dave? It seems to me that when he first took over the job, he made the offense work with the players he had on hand, and then he slowly let it evolve into what he wanted it to be. But as far as personnel-wise, is it a case, are we correctly assuming that it's just a case of him bringing guys in, letting them get bigger, faster, stronger, older, and then rebooting every few years?
Yes, and he's done a great job of redshirting wisely, and he got a boost this year with super seniors and the extra season of eligibility that the NCAA granted athletes because of COVID. And that helped helped everyone, but especially the Deacons, because those super seniors, to Clawson's credit, were eager to return and play for him, because such is the culture of Wake Forest football right now. It's not a place you want to leave. It's a place where you think you can win and you want to stick around and see what the next chapter might be like. And it turns out that the 2021 chapter includes an appearance tomorrow night in the ACC championship game.
Excellent stuff from David Teal. You can read his work at richmond.com. Follow him on Twitter at @ByDavidTeal. David, always a pleasure, buddy. Always a pleasure. Grateful to hear your voice.
Thanks. Appreciate you all having me.
All righty. It's the great David Teal. Follow him on Twitter at @ByDavidTeal. Can't say it.